Any prayer requests or praises that you have this morning? Yes, Tony.
I appreciate prayers for my uncle. He did have a surgery. He's doing very nice with his recovery. But we've got to see what happens after a couple weeks.
What was his first name?
Gary.
Gary. Let's keep our Uncle Gary in prayer in recovering from his surgery. Thank you. Any other updates or prayer requests? Carol.
Greg.
Let's keep Greg in prayer. Anyone else? Oh, Ann.
Our son John leaves tomorrow, or his next, on the
way. And how long will he be out this time?
2 months.
2 months. So you won't see him at Christmas?
No.
Let's keep John Benke in prayer as he went out for a 2 month tour. For his safety and just his time away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God, we thank you on this wonderful day that we truly look to our joy, our only joy. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you created a system of redemption where we're not only redeemed, we're not only saved, but we are given your spirit that we not only might have life, but have it abundantly. You want your children to sing and to dance and to laugh, to enjoy the created order. That was your original intention until our disruption through the fall. And your redemption simply reestablishes that. So we're grateful for your goodness. And we just pray that today we can celebrate you and your word. We pray that you be with all those that we have listed on our prayer list, all those that are on our hearts and our minds. We thank you that even those that we forget to remember, you remember, and you, through you, the constant intercession of your Son, are always mindful of those in caring. And in particular, we give you thanks for Gary and how well it went. May his recovery continue to go well. Be with John as he seeks to leave for this two-month tour. Give him safety. Just encourage him. Be with his family as they aren't able to be together over the holiday time. And just bless. And we also continue to ask you to continue to be with and encourage Greg and his family. We thank you for this day of worship you've given us. May we, through your Spirit, make the most of it and relish in the goodness of the Lord in our midst. In his name, amen.
Amen.
As always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
Make us, if we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now, before we call one another to worship, I failed the coordination test and overlooked the lighting of the Advent wreath. So before we call one another to worship using Psalm 85, I'd invite the Brills up to light the Advent wreath.
no matter what troubles overwhelm us today, Isaiah reminds us that in all of our preparation and passionate pursuit of God's coming kingdom, we must not forget that God's salvation has come and is coming. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy, you will remember that God's salvation is already present among us.
Faced with troubles and the suffering of the world, we choose to live in joyful presence to God and one another. We will not turn away from the pain and the hurt in our world, and we will not stop rejoicing in God, whose salvation fills us to overflowing, that God's love might flow through us and flood our troubled world with hope, peace, and especially joy.
We light this candle of joy as a sign of our commitment to be present to ourselves, our friends, our families, and our neighbors, that in sharing our vulnerable lives, we might share in the glorious joy of God's salvation together.
Let us call each to worship using Psalm 85, and then we'll stand and sing together hymn 13, Joyful, Joyful, we adore Him. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have withdrawn all your fury and turned yourself from your wrathful indignation.
Restore us then, O God, our Savior. Let your anger depart from us.
Will you be displeased with us forever? Will you prolong your anger from age to age?
Will you not give us life again, that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Our promise is what the Lord God is saying, for He is speaking peace to His faithful people.
Truly, His salvation is very near to those who fear Him, that His glory may dwell in our land.
Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will deal with His
righteousness shall go before Him, and peace shall be a pathway for His feet.
Thank you. prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us now sing 205, The Way of the Lord. Children of the Father. Pray as his children, as only children can, with boldness and with joy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Shall we look for another? And when the men had come to him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. What a beautiful offertory. Thank you for that rendition. Thank you. May the grace and peace of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I'm going to, on this Sunday of joy, start with something that, going back to our school days, probably would gave you a good sense of joy. Whenever the teacher would say, as I'm about to proclaim, we're going to have a pop quiz. Here we go. Many of you have grown up in a church, and many of you, like me, know a lot of hymns by heart, not because we set out to learn hymns. We've just sung them so much for so long that we've gotten ingrained. So we know, we're familiar with hymns. We know hymns, and we understand it. I learned something about a hymn, and I don't want anyone to call it out. And Mom, you can't play because you saw me do the research, so you may have overheard me talking about this. But at the end, if anyone knows which hymn I'm talking about, I'll take you to lunch, my treat. You're in the house of the Lord, so no cheating. Don't look on your cell phone as I'm talking. Okay, this hymn is in more hymnals than any other hymn. This hymn was the theme of several musicals by Mahler, Ralph Vaughan Williams, Charles Ives, of Currier and Ives fame. This hymn was a favorite hymn of King George V, Mahatma Gandhi, Queen Mary, and this hymn was played at the wedding of Queen Elizabeth, who just died. It's used as the official hymn of the Australian, New Zealand, Indian, and Canadian armies. This hymn is played at the beginning of soccer and rugby playoffs and was the opening ceremony at the 2012 Winter Olympics. It's been used in numerous movies, and it's even the background movie in several video games that I wouldn't tell you the names because they're quite gory and violent. Does anyone know this hymn?
Can we have a couple more here?
If you do your own research, that's all I got. If you know it, raise your hand. Two people I have to take to dinner.
Well, we get it.
Tell me at the same time, because the other one will say what he said. What is it?
Abide with me.
I'm only taking John. The hymn is Abide with Me. I didn't tell you this week, did I?
What's that?
I didn't tell you this week, did I?
No.
Oh, well, you know your hymns. It's Abide with Me. Abide with Me. We think of it, if we think of it at all, it's just something we sing at funerals. And I'll be honest, I didn't appreciate it as much until I did some research. Let me tell you the background of this hymn. This hymn was written by an Anglican minister. It served in the 1830s and 40s, and of course in England, Brixham, England. His name was Henry Francis Light, and he was a faithful Anglican pastor, but he suffered with bad health all his life, and he's actually at 54 in the last weeks of tuberculosis. And an older man in his congregation calls him, who's also dying of tuberculosis, and invites him to come over, ask him to come over to bring comfort to this man. So Bishop Pastor Light goes over, and he's with this guy that will wind up dying that evening, an older man. And Light himself is only 54, but he'll wind up dying within a few days. And as these two dying individuals gather together in their last moments, literally within days, for some hours of their death, they wanted to ask, what is the one thing in life that brings us joy? What is the one thing in life where we know we can always have joy? And they came to the resounding, and I would suggest correct, position that the only place that we can have joy is in the presence of the Lord. It's God's presence with us. The man died, and Pastor Light went home, and he penned out the words to this wonderful hymn, Abide With Me. In the original, it has eight verses. I'm not going to read all eight. I think our hymnal only has three. But let me read a couple to you. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim. Its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who, like thyself, my God, guide and stay can be through cloud and sunshine. Lord, abide with me. And it ends by saying, heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Light and that dying man had to learn what we had to learn. We know that Christ came to give us joy, but how do we have joy in the midst of storms? How do we have joy with stress and discord and conflict? As the children of Israel asked in Psalm 137, how can we sing in a foreign land? How can we have this? Of all the churches that Paul planted, and us pastors, we have favorites. But you happen to be my favorite church, and I love it. That's why I've been here 14 years. Well, pastors have favorites. And Philippi was Paul's favorite church. But he's in prison now in this letter of the Philippians. The church he loved is being torn apart by discord, by conflict. And all Paul can do is write a letter that talks about joy. In this short little letter of four chapters, joy or rejoice is mentioned at least 20 times. And in particular, the text that Al read for us today. But in that text, if you'll look with me, one verse seems mighty out of place. It's often misquoted and quoted out of context, but it doesn't seem to fit with this whole thing about having joy, and that's verse 5. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. What does that have to do with joy? In the King James Version, it's really been quoted out of context. The King James Version says, let your moderation be known in all things. And I've heard that all my life. spoken, that it's a cry that when you eat or when you drink or whatever you do, be moderate. Don't go overboard. Don't do too much of it. Well, that's right, and that's good advice and taught in other places of Scripture. But the word here for moderation is a very rare Greek word. It's epiakles. And what it means is moderation's okay, reasonableness is okay, but what it means is moderation in the sense of being balanced, of being gentle, of taking life in an easy way. Not, if you look in verse 6, it's the opposite of what he says in verse 6. We always read Scripture in context. Verse 6 begins, don't be anxious. So it's the opposite of anxiety. I'm going to suggest a word, a British word that you know as being the best translation of this, and you'll see how it fits in context with how we have joy in the midst of stress. It's the word being unflappable. You know that word, unflappable. In British slang, flap means twisted, conflict, the chaos that's all around us, all the junk we have to deal with in life. They call it flap. So to be unflappable is to not be carried away by this stuff, to not be swayed by the circumstances, not getting anxious over what you're going through. Do you see how that applies to joy? We have to be above what we're going through. We have to not get caught up in the affairs that seem to call on us. But that's difficult when we've been set in the middle of the swamp and we're draining, but alligator and water is up to our neck. It's tough. So what do we do? What do we do? I think the key is in the end of verse 5. The only way we can stay unflappable is exactly what Pastor Light and his friend learned. The only way we can stay unflappable is to know that the Lord is at hand. God is present. Even, and I would say, especially in those areas and times when you're placed in something that's above and beyond what you humanly can do. Any of you ever been placed in a situation that you felt it was above and beyond what you could handle? And if you're honest, maybe it's just above and beyond what you want to handle. Maybe health issues you have to deal with. A child born with barriers and issues. Maybe financial strain. Maybe having to raise a child that's not yours as a parent or an aunt or a grandmother. Maybe it's natural tragedies of flooding or fires. Maybe at work. Maybe it's simply caring for an aging spouse or an aging parent. We get placed in these situations where it's hard to have joy because we seem like we're going to be swallowed by the circumstances. I would suggest that the greatest model of someone placed in a situation above and beyond their abilities was this 14-year-old unmarried girl named Mary. Mary was told by the angel, and you talk about being above and beyond, that you are going to have a birth. You're going to have a baby. And, you know, she was overwhelmed. I would be overwhelmed. I mean, you talk about trying to be unflappable you talk about flap when somebody tells you that you're 14-year-old, you're not married, you've never been with a man, and you're going to have a baby. Let me suggest to you, while I absolutely affirm the physical and true virgin birth, what she was upset about and overwhelmed about wasn't the fact that she was going to have a baby without a man. Now, that was part of it, but you think about God as the Creator God. He created all things from nothing. He's the one who controls the womb. Not being blasphemous, but it's not a big deal for God to create life. He did it at the beginning. I don't think Mary was overwhelmed with knowing that she was going to have a baby being a virgin. I think she was absolutely overwhelmed that she was going to have to raise the Son of God. The early church understood correctly that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. He got his divine nature from God the Father. But he got his human nature from Mary. I mean, have you ever thought about it? Mary was the one who was tasked with, God made him man. We read in John 1:14. God made him man, but Mary was the one that was going to teach him how to be a human. That would overwhelm me. It overwhelmed me enough when I had my own three children. Especially the first one. Do you remember how you felt that maybe the first child you had? I was scared to death that I was going to break Tommy. I was overwhelmed. If you remember, you were probably overwhelmed. Think how you would have felt. Think how much above and beyond your abilities if you knew that you not only were going to care for this newborn, but it was the Son of God that was going to redeem you and the entire world. It leaves me speechless to think about it. That Mary was in this position where she knew she was going to have to raise, teach how to be human, care for, protect, and provide the one who would be, as Elizabeth says on her visit, the mother of my Lord, our Savior. And Mary was tasked to do it. I would have quit. I would have said, Lord, find somebody else, you know. But Mary was a true disciple, a faithful believer. And she was said, she submitted to God's word, be it unto me according to your word. But then she does something else. You know what else she does? The same thing the people of God have always done in difficulty. The same thing that Jesus and the disciples did the night on which he was betrayed. The same thing Paul and Silas did in jail. The same thing that is so good for our soul. Even psychologists and physicians will tell you it's great for your soul and your mind and your body. You know what Mary did after she submitted to the word of God? She sang. She sang. And she sang what we call the Magnificat. And she sang not so much about how overwhelming her situation was. She sang about how mighty her God was. A God who could reverse every situation. A God who could do all things. She sang. And because she sang, she had joy. Brothers and sisters, we're called to sing. Not look at our problems, not mope, not try to figure out how we can avoid it. But we're to submit to the Word of God and then sing His praises. Augustine, in the 4th century, and I close with this, on a sermon that he gave, I just want to read a few lines that I've underlined. Let us sing hallelujah here on earth while we still live in anxiety, so that we may sing it one day in heaven in full security. Even amidst the trials and temptations, let us all sing hallelujah. For no matter what situation you are in, no matter how strong the waves are against your ark, God is faithful, says Holy Scripture, and He will not allow you to be tried beyond your strength. So when you're going through trials, worry is unnecessary. Anxiety is insulting to our Father who's giving you His promise. And singing is the natural response to the presence of the Lord. So So brothers and sisters, whatever you're going through, let us sing now. Not in order to enjoy a life of leisure, but in order to lighten our labor and burden. Sing and continue walking on. Sing and keep going. Sing and walk through any troubles, singing to the Lord. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, the third day into heaven. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Surely it is you, Lord God, who saves us, for you are our stronghold and our sure defense, and you shall be our Savior forever. From bondage and then from exile, you brought your people home. You gave Zion a song, filled Jerusalem with joy, and renewed your children in praise. When your creation was captive to sin, you sent your Son to restore your people. Upon the cross, he bore the sin of the world, and through his resurrection, you have become our salvation. In your love and by your Spirit, you have opened the wells of salvation to flow through all the earth with the water of rejoicing. And so we give you thanks with the saints of every age and exalt you in the company of heaven as we join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Gathering God, as grain is collected from the fields, in your Son you draw us to yourself. And as that grain is drawn together in this holy meal, you make us one. Send your Holy Spirit upon your church to make us your harvest of righteousness. Sanctify this bread and this cup, that it may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Holy One of Israel, you are the great one in our midst. Come and dwell among those who long to know you amid toil and strife, where your loved ones have been exiled by judgments against them. Remove every fear from their hearts and give them hope. Where your sons and daughters face the threat of enemies, show them how best to love their persecutors. Where oppression has turned your children into outcasts, gather them in your arms and carry them home. Bring us to that day when shame turns to praise and all creation resounds with rejoicing in your midst. Holy One, Eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may wonder, though many of you probably know, what did Jesus and the disciples sing that Holy Thursday when he was about to accomplish the reason he was sent to earth as anyway? As they left instituting the Lord's Supper, they went forth singing, as good Jews, they would have been singing the Hallel Psalms, the Psalms of Ascent. And one of those is Psalm 118. And in that psalm, Jesus would have sung on his way to be betrayed and crucified out of love for you. He would have sung with the disciples that which we can sing on your very worst day. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We sing, for he is our Savior. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive his precious gift of his body and his blood given for you. The feast is prepared. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast.
promised that you are. You were, you are, and you always will be. The compassion in Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have the promise that you will never leave nor forsake us. In every situation, you have promised to abide with us. How can we keep from singing? Our hearts are full of joy as we, through your Spirit, have been invaded by the precious good news of the love of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. In your precious name, we remain joyous. Amen. Let us close our worship, standing and singing together hymn 181, Joy to the World. Their celebration. Let us hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. God bless. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.